magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. I guess we'll call this one episode number 326 and just put it in the feed as normal. So just to give everyone a heads up what's been going on, last couple weeks, Jared and I have both been having like conflicting travel schedules, which has made recording the podcast super difficult. He's actually at a wedding right now. I'm in my hotel room at the Hearthstone Championship in Burbank, which has really interrupted our workflow when it comes to podcast stuff. So just to have something in the feed, I figured I would just upload the interview audio that I had today with at the actual Hearthstone Championship Tour with Dr. J, who won the Winter Championship last year. So kind of have a conversation about 15 minutes long or so about, you know, just being a professional esports athlete, you know, kind of like life balance with that. You know, tips to kind of get in that direction, because it seems like I talk to a lot of kids that are always like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber or a Twitch streamer or, you know, a pro video game player. How do I do that? So kind of talk about that a little bit. So kind of tried to make it a bit more general than just, you know, an interview about like the Hearthstone metagame and stuff like that. So even if you're not super into Hearthstone, hopefully you still find this interesting. We'll be back next week with a regular episode of Touch Arcade Show with video and everything else. Maybe even do a bonus episode to make up, because we've been off for so long and there's so many games that we need to catch up on. But anyway, hope you enjoy the interview. Just starts kind of rough because I wasn't really planning on posting it, so I didn't really intro it too much. So just, you know, consider it starts when I hit record on my iPhone. So thanks a ton for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another like real deal episode of the Touch Arcade Show. All right, cool. So, here to you, Dr. J. Well, I just for my notes, I guess. But so you've won a ridiculous amount of stuff in the Hearthstone world. Can you just like lay down like all your like main accomplishments?
So the first ever tournament, major tournament that I competed in and actually won, was the HCT Winter Playoffs, yeah, which put me to go to the HCT Winter Global Championships in the Bahamas. And then after that, immediately after that, I got ninth place at PAX East. After making ninth place at PAX East, I started to compete in more and more events just to try and get my name out there. And the next event I did well at, exceptionally well at, was DreamHack Atlanta, where I won. So.
Okay. So like going back, like you know, say you're sitting in study hall in high school or whatever, like what what trajectory do you think that like you, what direction did your life take to get you to where you are? Like, are there any like chain of events that you can identify as like, this is kind of what really put me on the path to becoming like a Hearthstone champion?
So it wasn't something that I expected. It was more of something that kind of just happened along the way. So I originally got into Hearthstone a bit of ways away ago, probably about a year and a half ago. My brother showed it to me. I started playing it casually. I was playing other competitive games at that time. Specifically in the card game genre.
Yeah, so other card games were you into?
Mostly Yu-Gi-Oh! I played Yu-Gi-Oh! At a high level. I went to a lot of events for that. I traveled for that a bit. Not as much as I've been traveling for Hearthstone, but yeah. Tried to travel as much as I could. And then with that, I started to get more and more into Hearthstone. I just started to see how accessible it was for me at a competitive level. Yeah. So what I did was I kind of dropped Yu-Gi-Oh! And I said, I want to focus my energy and time into Hearthstone. So along with school and then part-time work, I started to put more and more time into Hearthstone to where I could qualify for my first event. And I had tried to qualify through the Tavern Hero system for previous events, but that didn't go out as well as I'd planned because I was putting a lot of time into my school, my classes, my work, so it was harder for me to do that. School, work, and classes had started to kind of relax back when I started to go into the winter season. Okay. And I qualified for my first tournament in winter, and after doing extremely well in that, that's kind of where everything took off. and started putting me down this path.
Okay, cool. What we run into so often is, like, kids that are, I mean, because, like, so Touch Arcade's a mobile-centric site, so, like, we have kind of a younger audience of kids that look at people, you know, like Hearthstone pros and YouTubers and streamers is like, that's where I want to be someday. And, like, so do you ever get the question from people of, like, how do I get to, you know, having a Twitch following and, like, you know, being really good at Hearthstone and, like, all that stuff? Like, is there, like, advice that you give people? Like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, being good at a game is, like, you know, you can't, like, oh, here's my one secret kind of thing. But, like, you know, like, for... I never know, like, what good advice to give people that, you know, are, like, in their teens or whatever and, like, see this as, like, this is where I want to go kind of thing.
So advice for people of who are younger in their teens just trying to achieve this, like, I guess gaming experience or whatever you want to call it. A big chunk of it is just hard work and dedication. A big chunk of it is putting the time in, not slacking, making sure that you're on top of yourself in order to achieve whatever it is. So, for instance, in my case, I put a lot of time into Hearthstone in the winter season, and it paid off in dividends for me. A lot of people are still trying to put... They put a lot of time in, but they don't see immediate rewards. They don't see immediate comeback, or whatever you want to call it. And the reason that is just because a lot of times you have to put the work in until you have a breakout moment. Fortunately for me, my breakout moment came probably a lot earlier than most people's will, but I feel like if you keep putting the time and dedication into it, eventually you will have one of those breakout moments, and then you have to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
You have to continue to work hard, continue to do whatever you can to carry the momentum of that breakout moment.
So would you say that your Twitch presence, like, segued off of doing so well in Hearthstone, or do you think that you were building up on Twitch and that kind of helped out? And
so I had started Twitch a little bit before I went to the playoffs. I streamed whenever I could. It was a little bit harder because I was going as a full-time student.
Right.
And, of course, during the winter season, I could stream a little bit more. Not as much as I'd hoped for. But definitely what I will say is my success in the HCT event was what kind of boosted me and gave me confidence to stream a little bit more. But a lot of people can build streams and have success without having a huge breakout moment. Like, you can start to build it, and then when you build it enough, maybe you start to build connections where you talk to other streamers who start to either give you hosts, or they start to talking to you, like, and they give you shout outs, and you just continuously and gradually build it up and up until the point where you're starting to see the, I guess, the appearance of numbers is what most people want to see. And another big thing with that is just you have to be consistent. A lot of things, specifically with the streaming industry, is that in order to gain and retain numbers, you have to make sure to have some kind of consistent schedule, which is something I'm lacking right now, obviously, with how my life's going. But if anybody really wants to dedicate whatever they can to this kind of lifestyle, they have to remain consistent and put in the work.
Yeah. So what did you end up going to school for? Are you still in school now?
I'm still in school now. I go part-time now just so I can kind of pursue the esports side of things. I used to go full-time. I kind of honed that back to part-time just so I could pursue esports. I was biology on a pre-pharmacy track, but currently I've changed it to environmental science. I originally went to biology thinking that's what I wanted to do, and then, of course, being a teenager, you realize that's not what you want to do. So I ended up honing it back and then going for environmental science because I care about the environment. So
do you see yourself in the future as being a environmental scientist that's very good at Hearthstone, or like a pro esports guy that also follows the science community?
It's really hard to say where I'm going to go because it's hard for me to... there's places I would like to be in 5 years, but also it depends on where the state of, let's say, Hearthstone or the state of esports, wherever they're at in 5 years. And I'm very optimistic, and I see them as being a prevalent force within the economy and market and all of that kind of things.
Yeah.
So I personally see myself in esports in the next 5 years, but it's hard to say. I'm still young, so it's hard to say where I'm going to be.
Where do you see the like the brand of esports players themselves kind of going? Do you think in the future it's going to be very important to be on a team to kind of get your name out there, or do you think that, like, there's still an opportunity for you to be like a one-off guy because Hearthstone's a single-player game?
So in Hearthstone's case, it is a lot different than other games, for instance, like Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch. And the reason that is because Hearthstone is very unique to the player.
Right.
When you watch a stream, you're not watching a team play. You're watching an individual who is talking about the game and trying to entertain you. So a lot of people will watch some streamers that may not be considered the most competitive players, but are big personalities. They like to see crazy things. That's like kind of the fun of Hearthstone. You like to see wacky, you like to see crazy, and then the people who can do wacky and crazy the best, you start to gravitate towards them.
So as Blizzard has kind of shifted around the way that you qualify for tournaments and the structure of all that stuff, do you think they've been making, do you think they're going in a good direction? Like, what would you like to see them do that they're kind of not doing right now?
They are definitely going in a good direction. It's really hard for a large organization like Blizzard to immediately fix anything, right. And which I've come to understand by talking to Blizzard representatives, people from the Hearthstone esports side. And it's really hard that they have this huge organism, and Hearthstone is just one small aspect of that organism, right. That they're trying to push. And I know they care a lot about the players, they care a lot about the community, and they're doing their best to do so. There's definitely a lot of steps that they can take, and those are in features like how the tournament system is ran, on top of the Open Cup system that is featured in Hearthstone, where you accumulate your points from, venue locations. There's a lot of things they can do to enhance the gameplay experience for the competitive side, and I definitely think they are taking those steps, and I definitely think they're going to get there.
Do you ever feel like you're missing the social aspect of playing a game face to face, like Yu-Gi-Oh is a paper game,
yes.
Right? So do you ever feel that part is lacking and kind of bums you out that you're not still playing Yu-Gi-Oh? Because there was something about seeing someone scoop their cards.
Yeah,
up, right?
it's satisfying to see them rage in real life. Right,
yeah.
Now I'm just playing. Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's something satisfying about getting to see the person face-to-face. I'm a very social person. I like to connect with people, and that's part of the reason why I used to run firesides in my local area just to try and bring people out to play Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And that was part of, the Yu-Gi-Oh! In me. I wanted to see people face-to-face. I wanted to talk to them about the game. I don't like typing to them over the game.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I'd rather be in a call with someone, and then after that, I'd rather be face-to-face with someone. And I definitely see where that area is lacking, but that is also one of the great appeals of Hearthstone, is what is considered to some people a weakness is a huge strength.
Yeah.
Because it gives accessibility to players from everywhere. Because I was just talking to a guy out there near the stage. He was just a fan of mine. I was talking to him, and he was talking about how he lived over in the Middle East and how he plays with everyone from around the world, plays in the Europe region. That's just so cool to me that we bring so many cultures, so many people together,
yeah.
Just through this one card game. But I still get a little bit of a taste of it, because obviously the DreamHack events are bring your own console. You sit across, you kind of stare at your opponent down the eyes, make sure they know what's up. So I think it's a best of both worlds kind of approach. You can get the feel from majors while also getting the feel of playing the game from home.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I miss about the game. I used to play Magic religiously.
Oh, I love
every
I love
Friday,
that. I never played competitive Magic, but Magic casually was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Friday Night Magic.
It was, and I really wish that that Hearthstone had a culture of that kind of Friday night kind of things. So when you ran your own fireside events, did you have any good success with them, or were they all kind of
It was hit or miss. Sometimes I'd have a decent crowd. And when I say decent, I say anywhere from 10 to 20 people would come out and play in a little tournament. And then sometimes it was slower, it only had 5 to 7, or sometimes even less, depending on how either advertised it was or what was going on at that time. Because a lot of times it conflicted with other kind of social aspect things in the gaming community. And I don't know, I'd say for the most part, it was kind of a success on the idea that I started to make personal friendships with some of these players.
Right, yeah.
Not even just competitive players, but just casual players who enjoy the game, who wanted to see me do well, and I consider them kind of my family now.
Yeah, so as someone that's run a bunch of them, what are your tips for because we hear a lot from people that kick them off of their university or whatever, and three people out or whatever, and that's not really enough to do anything that cool. Like what would you say were the major things that really turned yours into kind of a bigger thing? Is it just your star power of being
I actually did these before I did before I did anything in the scene. It's actually kind of calmed down now that I'm, because I've been traveling a lot, so it's harder for me to do them. What I would say is just, it's really hard to say, just because one of the downfalls of trying to get that innkeeper feel is how accessible Hearthstone is. So for instance, In my personal location, Richmond, Virginia, we have a Facebook group, and in the Facebook group there's like 200 people, and I see at least like probably like 30 of them are probably active, and they comment stuff, they post stuff, ranging from like arena picks to constructed competitive play. And I will post my groups there, and just I still don't see people come out.
Yeah.
And I just think that's like a cultural thing of how accessible Hearthstone is. They kind of think, well, what's the need for me to go out? And I can see that Blizzard's actually putting more incentive for people to go out. You see that with the new Warlock hero. And I think, like I said, just I think Blizzard is taking really good steps to try and fix all of the things competitively and casually for the game.
Yeah, so where do you see yourself, like, this time next year as, like, you know, Hearthstone player, streamer, or whatever else? Like, what kind of plans do you have for the next year of, you know, your life?
I definitely enjoy the competitive aspect of Hearthstone. I definitely want to get, want to try my hat at, like, another season. But I also have been enjoying doing the casting side of it. I actually got to cast the TESPA Collegiate Series Monday and Tuesday of this week. And that was really fun. It was actually a new side. It was actually enjoyable. I enjoyed talking about the game, and it was just something new kind of to do, and I really enjoyed it. Other than that, I just kind of see myself playing some more, giving it some more shots, seeing just like what I could do. Maybe I can make it to Worlds next year.
Yeah.
Maybe I can still do well in the Americas tournament, so we'll see.
Do you ever feel like you get bad beats because of RNG, and like how do you deal with that? Like mentally reconciling?
So the way I mentally handle it and mentally reconcile it is that when you sign up for a card game, you are signing up for RNG.
Right.
Any card game aspect has RNG. Arguably, maybe Hearthstone has a little bit more than the other card games, or however the considerable amount you want to take it as.
Yeah.
But when you sign up for the card game, you understand that there is randomness in this card game that can happen. You kind of just have to accept it and move on, even if it is sometimes like wacky and it causes you to lose a game. But you also have to understand, for every time it's wacky and costs you a game, there are some times where you just win because of it, and it's like you can have the best of, like, I guess not the best of both worlds, but you can have both worlds in where sometimes you just lose games because there's nothing you can do, and other times you win games and there's nothing your opponent can do. But I still think a lot of people want to put blame onto RNG for either their lack of success or their how they don't do well in just tournament play. And I think there's a lot of things that you can do differently to overcome that. And for instance, my firm philosophy is every game of Hearthstone I play, if I lose, it is my fault.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good philosophy for any player trying to get into the game to have, because when you start to accept every single game as your fault, you'll start to see more flaws in your play, on top of you'll start to see more flaws in little things like tech choices and what decks you bring. So
when you, like, when you're actively, like, trying to get better and, like, looking at the meta and stuff like that, like, how much of your time do you spend looking at, like, replays of your own games and streams and stuff?
I don't spend as much time as probably other players do, but I definitely think looking back at either your own games or shadow playing, watching someone else's game, for instance, like, when I'm watching, say, the HCT event this weekend, I like to look and say, oh, well, what are the options? What can you do?
Yeah.
What should you have done? What can you play around? It's just, looking at games constantly is just a great way to get better. And I think that's part the reason why people watch streamers, right? They watch streamers because they see what they're doing and they can replicate it immediately on their own client, and it helps them to get better.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. Yeah, that's kind of like all I got as far as stuff that I want to cover. So I don't know. Really,
yeah, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Cool deal. How's that on time?
No, we're good on time. Cool. Yeah.